Hey, it's Savannah. I wanted to give a heads up on the episode today. While we're discussing about why we craft, we talk about experiences of being homeless and hungry. If those are themes you don't want to hear about today, we'll see you in the next episode. If these are things you're currently experiencing, we have resources linked in our description, and we hope you don't stay there long. Thank you for listening.
Hello, crafty friends. Welcome to Craft Theories, where we talk about the hows, whys, and what the hecks of the paper crafting world. I'm your host, Terry.
And I'm Savannah.
Yay. Today we're, I say yay every time. Today we're going to talk about why we craft. This is a big one. Crafting, we've been crafting for over 20 years each. It takes a minute to analyze. Why do we keep doing this? Why do we love it? And what are the benefits we get from this? To help illustrate our process of crafting, I want to talk about the Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And I think crafting fits into every single level. We're going to explain how. Maslow's hierarchy of needs is a pyramid-like shape. It goes through human needs. The theory is that you need to have each base layer before you can move on to a higher level. So the bottom level and the most important level for every human being is having our physical needs met. And that's like food, water, shelter, air, clothing, and sleep. Just the basics. I remember a clip after the tsunami in Thailand, and there was a little lady living alone in a tent, and she's like, I realized I don't need a lot of things to live. It's just the basics, folks. And most of us have this. The next level is safety and security. So after you're living and have everything you need to keep you alive, it's, are you safe? Do you have good health? Do you have a job and a family and a social network, and those enable you to continue getting the bottom layer. So with your job and good health, you're able to keep working and have a place to live. So the next level, once you have that, is love and belonging. So friendship, family, intimacy, a sense of connection, just a place in the world where you fit in. The fourth level of Maslow's hierarchy of needs out of five is self-esteem. So do you have confidence, achievement, respect of others, and the need to be a unique individual? So those are all good things. So those are a little bit higher level of living. And the top level that Maslow explains is self-actualization. So basically, this is morality and creativity, spontaneity, acceptance, experience, purpose, and meaning, and inner potential. I've read some places there's another level that Maslow left out, all spirituality. And so after that would be like transcendence. But for our human needs, we'll just put that's still out there. But we're going to talk about these five needs. Before we do, Savannah, why do you craft?
That is a great question. I think to put it simply, creating is the opposite of self-destructive and negative thoughts. And when I create, I don't feel those or think anything like that. So it's really a sense of peace in my life. Terry, why do you craft?
I have a lot of reasons I craft. I keep adding to every year. But I think one of the basic reasons I do is because when I was in foster care, my foster mom, Debbie, told me that I did not deserve to do extracurricular activities because I was in foster care, that I was not entitled to that, that I should be working and earning my keep, even though I was still a high school student. And so made me feel like, or tried to make me feel like I wasn't good enough to do any of these higher activities, that I didn't deserve to be on a dance team, that I should be scrubbing floors after school. So I give her my one middle finger and I keep crafting.
Love you, Mom. Take that, Debbie.
Yep. I forgive you. And I really like pretty paper. No, I love creating things. I think it was a really powerful feeling of someone trying to make me feel like I didn't deserve that or couldn't be good at that or wasn't good enough for that. It made me want to embrace it even more. And now when I craft, it's a daily reminder of how far I've come. And I feel very grateful for that. Grateful to have that chance to do something just because I enjoy it and it makes me happy. I feel like that's a huge blessing. I love making pretty things too. I say this all the time, but I really do like getting stuff in the mail. So I'm going to try to send out more. I bet other people like getting stuff in the mail.
I think that's a beautiful thought. Beautiful way to live.
Yeah. If you want to get stuff in the mail, sign up for our Patreon and we will enjoy making a pretty card and sending it to you. So we want to go through these basic needs. So we're going to start on the Maslow's pyramid. The first basic need is our physical need. So everything we need to keep us alive. This is food, shelter, water, just the very basics. And as someone who, like I mentioned, has been in foster care, I've also been homeless too, not very long. I've had these life experiences. And at the time, I thought of nothing close to crafting. And if you're in a situation where you don't have shelter or food insecure, I've been there. And we hope you're not there long. Fortunately, these types of experiences are normally very short term, and we're grateful for that. I'm grateful for those experiences because it helps me be grateful for what I have now. We hope if you're in one of these situations that it's very temporary. Don't worry about crafting.
It'll be here when your needs have been met. Crafting will always be here, but we need to make sure that you're still here and that you have a safe place in food. You can come back to crafting.
That's right. Those paper kits are going to be around forever. Whenever you're ready, you can start small. But if you have been a crafter and you're experiencing some insecurity in your basic needs, you can always sell your crafting supplies to pay for those. And actually, I have a good friend who was very successful with her crafting career. She was a stamping up demonstrator and had even went so far and earned a cruise. Like, she was very successful and had a downline and big classes, very good at teaching, made beautiful cards and scrapbook pages. After her divorce, there was 1 month where her child support, her very healthy child support, just didn't show up and without notice. And then her ex informed her it wasn't showing up because he quit his job and didn't want to keep paying her. So she sold everything she owned and quit doing her crafting stuff to pay for her rent and food for her two kids and used it to get on her feet. And that was, gosh, probably 15 years ago at least, maybe 20. And she has never gone back to crafting, but she is very good at supporting herself and her now grown boys. So some options. Also, some people try to sell their crafting creations. Cards or pretty things at craft fairs or on Etsy or online places. So that's another option. Your craft supplies are actually worth more as finished products than they are as unused supplies, but they still have value either way. Take care of those needs first, because if you don't have those needs met, like if you're living in a car, you're not going to worry about, oh my goodness, do I have enough layers on my card or does this ribbon look good on my scrapbook page? Like, those things don't matter at that time. Take care of yourself first. So one of the best places to sell your supplies, like if you're going to sell your stamps or dies or anything, is on online buy sell trade forums. So this is what I found after many years. Like, people go to those forums looking for exactly what you're selling. I have sold a little on eBay. It depends on what you're selling or if you're a good established seller. But on the buy, sell, trade forums, you've got what they're looking for. So they're willing to pay more for them.
I actually saw a really sweet story in the comments. I've noticed on these forums, a lot of these people are experiencing a very life-changing event and are often moving or
They need to pay for health expenses, getting a divorce, loss of a spouse. Like there's need to pay for a funeral, like a lot of it's just very life-changing moments that they considered selling stamps. And this lady was going through a divorce and moving and was selling her supplies to get a lawyer. This lady had bought supplies and in the comments is like, you can have it back when you're done. Or you can have it back. I'll just help support you. And it was really sweet. And just a tender moment of support in these comments as well.
Right. So our craft supplies are an investment in our future. And can help us whenever we need them. So even down to the basic needs. And that speaks to the amazing crafting community, the support and love that there is out there. So the next level is safety and health. Basically, everything in this level is to ensure that you keep getting the bottom level. So do you have a job? Are you healthy? Do you have a family to support you? Do you have a social network? So everything you need that will help ensure that you have your basic needs met. Crafting helps in this way as well. So actually, the first thing when I thought of safety is I thought of a Mythbusters episode where they tested whether or not paper can stop bullets. Evidently, there was some old drawings of samurai armor made out of paper. So they tested the myth and it was true. Paper does stop bullets. So in it,
your paper can do that too?
Stopping bullets, folks. Okay. Just something to consider when you're planning your layout of your craft room. I hope you live in a safe neighborhood. But just in case, we have deer in our neighborhood. So if someone was shooting at the deer, we could have a bullet fly into our house. You never know. You never know. Okay.
We can have paper shields and our X-Acto knives. We are protecting our family here. Self-preservation.
Okay. Beyond the safety, you probably won't need that. I'm hoping you don't need that, but it's out there. Okay, for your health part, so being healthy, actually crafting is a huge part of a healthy lifestyle. And there are studies that show that creating with paper or any kind of creating actually helps delay Alzheimer's and protect from Alzheimer's. So it keeps your brain activity and it keeps activity in different parts of your brain.
I'd like to explain this. So fun fact, I've actually written about creativity and crafting. There's the fight or flight part of your brain, the medulla oblongata and the amygdala. That's like the core part of your brain at the very bottom center part. It's connected to your spinal cord. That is like what keeps you alive. But when you craft and have positive memories and experiences in your life, it takes you from the fight or flight center to the frontal lobes and into the executive function state. All that to say, it literally reroutes your neural pathways from your flight or flight to just to higher thinking and better thoughts. So it literally changes how you think.
That's so fascinating. And I remember talking with Savannah as she was working on those papers. I feel that influence in my life. I feel the reduction in stress and the calmness when I craft. And so even though I may not know exactly why that is, I still get the benefits and I do feel the benefits. I remember when I was in college, a couple decades ago, and I was sure I was going to be a writer. And I mean, I have written a few things. I have a couple books and I was going to be a screenwriter and I have a couple screenplays out there. I was really focused on that. But even in the middle of that, I still was paper crafting regularly. And I was feeling guilty about like, why do I need to paper craft? I should be working on my career, which is writing. All I knew was it was connected, that the more I created with paper and color and layouts, the better I was at writing. So it improved that part of my life. I think it improved many parts of my life. I'm grateful for that. And I'm grateful for paper crafting, but it did help me be creative when I didn't know how to. Like I never took classes on being creative. I worked at it. Like Savannah was explaining, when you get in the fight or flight mode, you feel stressed. Your body releases adrenaline, which is good for the moment, but has long-term negative effects. So anytime you feel stressed, it puts pressure, negative pressure, on every aspect of your body, from your immune system, your digestive system, your skin health, all your organs. So it's important to get out of that stress moment, that stress feeling, as much as you can. So crafting does that by, like Savannah was explaining, taking the function from that stress area of your brain to the other higher functioning executive area of your brain. It literally is healthy for you. Yay. Yeah.
We knew it. We always knew it. I think another point with crafting. So I grew up in a military family. Like, we were military. We moved often. And I think one other thing with crafting is it was a security for me growing up. We lived a very transient life being in the military, and having the craft supplies was very much a security for me growing up. I didn't understand why we were moving. We didn't have any idea of where we were going to, but I did know that we were going to be crafting, and it was just a nice bit of structure, even though we were moving. So it was really good.
Actually, I don't understand why, but every time we moved, and there was a lot of moves, I always had to set up my craft room first. I don't know. I just felt peace having that area set up. The kitchen was a close second, kind of at the same time. But once I got the craft room up, I was like, okay, we can live here. We can do this. Kind of fun. The third level in Maslow's hierarchy is love and belonging. So obviously, this is crafting. Hello. Love and belonging. Well, mostly belonging. We love you though, so it counts. That's one of the things I love about the crafting community, is it is a community, and you can join any number of Facebook groups and be a part of a community. And there are so many out there with just like card making or scrapbooking or card making with this one brand or whatever, die cutting.
It's actually a joke in the house that I join all the Facebook groups. Like, if I have a problem, there's a Facebook group for that. I wish I was joking, but literally it's for everything. And like, oh, organic gardening? Gardening for lemons in containers? Oh, no, here's this Pink Fresh crafting group. I'm on all of them.
She really is. It's like sourdough starter Facebook group, or chickens in this one area, or
I've done like a lot of artist Facebook groups, and then I'm like artists against AI. Or yeah, I'm in all of them.
She is the Facebook group queen. So yes, crafting community naturally has the community built in. There are so many groups out there to join, and they have their own Facebook group with 2,000 or 3,000 people in them. And you talk about the cards and supplies and classes that you learn at these events. So that's fun. What I've noticed about them is almost universally crafting groups are so positive. I can't even recall any time I've seen someone be negative about someone else's creations on a Facebook group. And I love that. So you can feel like you fit in. Even when you're just starting out, you can find a card group or whatever company has a Facebook group. We have a Facebook group. And if you're listening today, you are in our club. You belong. So congratulations. We've made it to the third level on Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Welcome. Congratulations.
Hey. So I love that. I love the groups I'm in. Most of these groups are on Facebook, so they're easy to find. Just look them up. And if you don't like one, you can find another one. Yeah. So you fit in, and it's so easy. You don't even have to be crafting a long time. You don't have to have a fully decked out craft room with, you know, custom shelves or anything like that. You don't even have to have any craft supplies. You can start out by joining the group and then figure out if you like it. It's accessible for everyone and anyone. It's not like a elite sport, like, you know, we're going to be yachting in the Seychelles, or we're going to take our private plane and meet in the Alps. And no, this is anyone can join. So that you don't have to be an elite athlete, or actually there's no physical requirements. All physical abilities, all age abilities. Actually, when I remember doing a couple live events like years ago, live events were years ago. Annoying. I'm looking forward to that again. But I loved seeing people of all ages, people of all abilities, especially a lot of older women who are normally discounted by most of society. This community embraces them, not just allows them. It's like these people are celebrated in this community where they aren't anywhere else. And that was one of the things that cemented my love of this hobby, was seeing how welcomed these people were. There were people in wheelchairs. There were young people. There were dudes too. And they were welcomed and yayed. All races, all financial levels. Like, there were clearly people who scraped together their pennies and saved to be there. And then there were the others who didn't blink twice about all the expenses. And they were all friends. It didn't matter. It didn't matter where you came from. It didn't matter at all what you looked like. I really liked that. There was no discounting anyone in this community. Yeah. I mean, if you do want to take up, you know, hang gliding or surfing in Chile during the winter, that's fine. Like, you can. That, you have your own groups for that one. But we do this, and everyone's welcome. If there is someone in your life who doesn't support your hobby, then that gives you some clue that it may not be a healthy relationship. I know anyone who, my husband, for example, not crafty at all, literally. Okay, I kind of have a funny story about that. We had two houses for a while when he was in the military, so our kids could go to the same high school. So he had a little apartment with some of my craft supplies there, and he tried to make a couple cards. Bless his heart. He had the rubber stamp, and they weren't wood mounted. They needed to be on a clear block. He didn't know that. So he was trying to ink them up with his fingers and hold them and stamp them. And he told me later when I got the card, he was like, how do you get it without doing ink all over your fingers? So that's my husband. Actually, and then later he found a round clear acrylic block for stamping. He's like, what do you do? I know. He's like, what's this for? I'm like, what do you think it's for? And he's like, tracing circles.
And he was like, how do you make these pretty circles without this block? I had it downstairs.
So now every time we see a circle block, we're like, oh, it's so we can trace circles. Okay, that's how not crafty my husband is, but he totally supports my hobby and loves buying stuff. He loves making me happy. So how people treat your hobby gives you an indicator of how healthy that relationship is. And there's a difference. Like, there, I know many people who like to not hide, but downplay how much they purchase. And that's one thing. Okay. If someone's worried about budget, okay, fine. That's a different area. If they mock your hobby or mock your creations or get angry at you for having craft supplies or tell you it's all junk, then that's really an indicator that it's not entirely healthy. You may not be in a safe place or a healthy place. So this is one way crafting can help you recognize that, and you can choose to be healthy.
I've definitely used crafting as an indicator for people that I've dated. I've dated a couple of guys who were like, oh, it's taking up space, or what are you even doing this? And they didn't respect on what I like to do. And they also, like, it showed that they weren't nice in other areas. I've had friends who may not understand anything about crafting or why I like it, but they like that I do it and that it makes me happy. And so I think people who you surround yourself with, they don't have to always understand why you're so happy you got something in the mail, or the coolest thing, the coolest technique that you've used, or that the latest Craft Theories podcast has dropped. They don't have to know how excited you are, but they can be happy for you. And those are people you want to keep around in your friend circle and your family, people who like you for what you do, and that it makes you happy. Surround yourself with good people who support you and like what you do.
I wholeheartedly agree. And I think it is a good litmus test for how kind people are and if they should be in your life or not. Don't kick someone out just for this, but I think it may open your eyes to other behaviors. It's normally an indicator of other unhealthy behavior. If you're in that situation, you might need actual therapy. In the meantime, we also recommend retail therapy. It actually is a thing. It does boost your mood and relieves emotional distress, but buying crafting supplies also can help with belonging and community. So if you see a cute video and want to make that card, you can buy the supplies most of the time if they're current and make that card yourself. And by doing that, you're saying you're putting yourself in that group. You belong with these people. In your mind, you're like, this is my tribe. I've got this. And that's a very powerful thing to uplift yourself and claim a position in these groups. So I applaud that. And also recommend, if you are using crafting supplies for retail therapy, that you not overbuy, because that will bring distress and stress. And it's not healthy and could lead to debt. But buy responsibly. And then if you use your supplies, it's an extra boost. So not only do you get the little retail therapy from ordering craft supplies, but you also get the emotional lifting and benefits from using them. It's a powerful thing to use what you buy and create something lovely with it. All right, the fourth level of Maslow's hierarchy of needs is esteem and respect. So this is the need to be a unique individual and accepting yourself, not just esteem others. You regard yourself highly, like Elizabeth Bennet would say, I highly esteem him. Okay. They were definitely at this level, Elizabeth and Jane Bennet. Yeah. There is a lot of overlap in this, and not necessarily linear. Some people need esteem and respect more than love. Some people need love more. Anyway, so they kind of go together. But feeling positive about yourself, forgiving yourself, and accepting yourself as you are. So we identify as people who craft, and we don't need to couch that in excuses or explain or try to justify why that is. We just accept it and celebrate it. That may take a while, but you'll get there. Even if you don't create perfect stuff, that still applies. So you can, yes, I'm a card maker. No, they are not perfect. I just like it and it makes me happy. And I love my scrapbook pages. Definitely not perfect. The events are not perfect, but I'm choosing to celebrate that and honor that by making records of that. And I think that's very validating and healing. I think this is like taking pride in your work too. For me as a crafter, that's what this level means, is being content with who I am as a crafter, also taking pride in what I create and sharing that with others, putting it out. I haven't done that in a while. I used to do that on Split Coast Stampers. Maybe I'll post a link. You can see some of my earlier work, but I stopped sharing stuff for a while. I don't go on Split Coast anymore. We recently started sharing on our blog and Pinterest. So that's been new and kind of fun for me to put our work out there and feel happy about it. And it's easy to compare your stuff and be like, oh, man, I'm not as good as Carissa Wiley, or I'm not as good as Natasha Foote, who just creates beautiful stuff out of, like, you know, sandpaper and shoestrings. You know, you're like, wow. We started displaying our cards at home and making little spots to hang them up so people can look at them when they come over, or just for us to look at and be like, wow, I really did make a cute card back then, or a scrapbook page. And so that's been fun. I think also this means, so you respect your own work, but it also means you respect other people's work. So if you look at someone like the best, like Jennifer McGuire, and see her work, if you can look at it and be like, wow, that's amazing, I respect her for that, instead of feeling the negative, like, oh, I'm jealous of her, or insulting, like, well, she just has this, or, you know, if you can look at someone else's work and only think positive things, then that's a good step. Even though there's a huge difference in the quality or the type of work that she puts out than I put out, we're all different, and I don't have to be like Jennifer McGuire to be happy with the cards and projects that I make. And I don't want to feel any negative thoughts towards any other crafter. So that's part of this level, like just accepting yourself and other people wherever you're at.
So I like to draw. And while I've noticed a development in my skills, I still am like, oh man, you know, this person posts and I don't know if I'll ever get to that point, or it's still a struggle. But I'll definitely say, I think displaying it at home has made a big difference. And there'll be times where I'm like, I don't even know what to craft, but I really like what I made that one time. And I like seeing what I made, even if what I made was from a step-by-step kit or at a camp, it's still, I made that. I did that. And I feel a little bit more confident. I do respect myself as a crafter. And like, I do feel good about what I make. So I think displaying at home is a key to getting there.
And sending cards. I like making cards more than I know people to mail them to. So I make a lot more cards than I send out. And I'm working on mailing out more, but sharing them and not being afraid. Sometimes I'm like, oh man, is this person going to like this? And I doubt myself. Is this card good enough to send out? There's the opposite sometimes though. Like, is this person good enough to get one of my nice cards? I do think that sometimes. I should get nicer people in my life. I have stopped sending cards to my family. I'm just going to leave that there. The highest level from Maslow is self-actualization. And the defining characteristic in every single article that I looked up was creativity. I think that epitomizes crafting. This is what we do. We take raw supplies and we have a vision or sometimes a sketch that we're following, and we create something out of just paper and ink, and we make something beautiful. And I love that. I think this also is like analogous to baking. So how bakers take like raw ingredients and you get 50 bakers and give them all the same ingredients, you're going to get 50 different baked goods or 50 different food products with that. And that's what we do as crafters. We take it and everyone's going to make something different. Or a musician who has the same instrument, no one will play the same, make the same music. Everyone does something different. This is an art form and it helps us feel alive. Like, creating is aliveness and it's just an amazing process. I love that. I love it when things just fall together and you have a unique vision. I am inspired by many other creators. I don't very often copy exactly, but I take inspiration from them. Then there are times like it's like magic where I create something totally unique and it makes me happy and it's beautiful and it's this experience that is transcendent. Like, I think that's the defining characteristic, that you're able to create, that you're totally at peace with yourself. It may take a while to get there before you feel like you make beautiful cards or before you feel like you can create your own things. But this is a process. Also, scrapbooking in particular has helped us. We've had a journey in our life that's been challenging. We're at a good place right now. There are times in our past where it's been very rough. My husband's been deployed 6 times while raising children and children with special needs and being alone and having family drama. And crafting has always elevated my life, especially when there has been tough times or depression. I can craft and it lifts me. It lifts me out of wherever I was. And from whatever darkness or whatever level I'm at, it helps me step up a little bit emotionally and spiritually and energetically. It makes me be a better person every single time. But scrapbooking in particular, when we've had challenges in the past, there are a couple periods in our lives in the past where it was really rough. And I look at those pictures and for a long time, I was like, I don't think I can scrapbook this. I just feel the struggles we were going through at that time. But now I feel with some distance, I have been able to go back and appreciate the happy moment at that time and create a scrapbook page celebrating that moment of goodness in a whole period of trial. And it's been healing. It really has, for me to take the peace I have at this point in my life and apply it to the challenges I've had in my past. I like that. This hobby and this it's more than a hobby for me. I think it's like a way of life. It has elevated my life and has helped me now in the present and helped me apply the peace to the past. I am happy with myself. That's the top level. You're content and you're peaceful and you can create. If you're not there, we can take a baby step and work towards it. We've been doing this for a long time. It's been transformative and healing. So keep at it. It'll help you, even if it's just a baby step, it's the right direction. So I'm glad you're here.
Me too.
So just to sum up, I think this paradigm of Maslow just helps us describe some of the many reasons that we craft and that we create and that we keep buying craft supplies and then we keep creating and sharing. It's just a beautiful process. And I love pretty paper. I love die cuts. I love putting it together. Every single time I start a craft project, I'm like, I don't know. I have all, you know, these different kind of papers and these dyes that I want to use. I don't know what's going to, I don't think I can make something out of it. And I'm not sure. And I cut it up and I'll work on it. And then when I get the finished product, I'm like, wow, I really did. But I think that every single time it's touch and go. Like, are we going to make it? It's, you know what? Sometimes it doesn't work out, but.
And then you can laugh at it and be happy about it, even though it didn't work out.
I can send one of those cards to my family. Okay? You know who you are. But it does work out sometimes. And I'm amazed. I'm like, wow, did I really create that? Every single time I think that, wow, I love that. And I shouldn't be so surprised because I've been doing this a long time, but it's still a fun feeling. And I still like buying stuff. So I'm going to keep making stuff because I like buying stuff. I mean, that's not the only reason, but there's a lot of really cute stuff out there. There's also a lot of really not cute stuff. You don't have to buy anything. I am now very discerning in what I buy. And if it doesn't, like Marie Kondo would say, like spark joy, I don't buy it. And you don't have to buy it. But when I find those really cute things that I'm like, oh my goodness, I don't have, it's just fun. It's just that promise. Like you can make something beautiful with this. And I like that promise. It's hope. I hope I can make something beautiful with this. It's a very positive way to live. So it starts with buying really cute stuff. What are your closing thoughts, Savannah?
To wrap it all up, I think going back to why I craft, there's so many different reasons why I choose to craft over and over. And we just gave a whole bunch. But I think I continue to craft because
it's because you live in my house and and I make you. No, I'm just
force you will be creative. Yes. Yeah, it's that. No. I think it brings color and makes sense of the world in a way that I don't even fully understand at times, but it brings just light and good things, like I said at the beginning. It just brings peace. There's an Instagram video. I'll have to find it so I can put it on our Instagram. In the Instagram community, there were a lot of creators who are making like, oh, I do this because it makes the voices go like this. And the voices, you know, like a lot of people were talking and then it, and then at the end, it's like everyone quiets down and there's a silence. I don't know. That's how I feel about it. Like everything doesn't make sense until I start creating and then it just makes sense. And I don't even know sometimes what I created, but I just know that it made sense. But it's good and it's light and I like it, so I'm going to keep doing it. And that is a good enough reason to keep doing it. What about you, Terry? What do you have any closing thoughts?
If I didn't create, I would be a hoarder. I don't want to be a hoarder.
We're collectors.
Curators of creativeness. The bottom line is I just feel happy doing it. One thing about crafting is when you're making a card or scrapbook page, very often you're thinking, oh, I know someone who would love to get this card. So not only are you going through the creative process, but you're doing it to bless other people and support them and share light and love with other people. And that's such a positive feeling and powerful motivation that you can't help not being happy doing this. I love living like that. I love living in a way of thinking of how to bless other people. I love making scrapbook pages where I can celebrate not just my life, but my children, and pass that on. Like, these are the good memories we have. It's a very powerful, positive influence. I'm going to keep saying that over and over again, because it's true, and it can bless your life and others. Like, sharing that and sending cards and remembering friends, and it's a good way to live.
Take that, Debbie.
Yeah. It's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah. It's helped me overcome that imposition of lowness that was thrust on me and tried to keep me down, that I didn't deserve this. And so now I'm at a point where I know I don't say deserve, but I've earned this. I've worked for it. I've fought for it, fought for the right to be creative and to have this higher level of living. And now I'm happy to share that with others and lift other people. Before we go, Savannah, what have you been working on?
Well, Terry,
I've been working on, to be careful about what I can say, I'm working on a Christmas present because I don't know if my best friend is actually listening. Hi, Cambria. I'm working on a really cute crafty project that I can't wait to mail her. It uses pretty paper and sparkles and embellishments and all the cute things. Terry, what have you been working on?
I made really cute cards. Scrapbook.com had a freebie last week of 49 in Market Cottage Core paper pack. I haven't used this style very often. It's not my wheelhouse. And I was like, okay, I'm going to get it and not put it in the drawer with the other paper. I'm going to try to use it. I made really cute cards with the A2 nesting arches from scrapbook.com and the cottagecore paper, and they turned out super cute. So we're going to post those on our Instagram or Pinterest, a blog, a something. Savannah does all the socials. I just create this stuff, and so Savannah shares. I'm very grateful for that. We make a good team. But anyway, it was really fun, and I wasn't sure how it would turn out, and it took a couple days, but I've made a handful of really cute cards. So yay.
Yay. I can't wait to be sharing them. I'm going to post them on our blog. And you can find our blog at crafttheories.com and any of our social media at Craft Theories Podcast. So we're on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. You can catch us on there. Check on our Facebook. I'm going to be making an announcement about our posting schedule. And if you, like we said in the earlier episode, if you want to receive a handmade card or two from us, you can check out our Patreon at Craft Theories Podcast for more information. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. And we would love to send you a handmade card from our Patreon. And they're really cute. I love designing them every month and coming up with really cute cards we can share with everyone. So thanks for listening. We hope you have a lovely crafting day.
I got a microphone. Yeah, I got a microphone. Whoa, I got a microphone. Yeah! Craft Theories.
This has been a Citrus Media production.